I always get confused. Hello, everyone. Thank you for the time. I always look forward to these opportunities to get a chance to talk about Synapse. So today, in the last session, I'm going to focus on, of course, integrating data with Azure Synapse, which really, to be honest, is what Azure Synapse is really about. So, you know, the theme of what I'm going to talk about is really no code. Now, in the middle of my demos, you're going to see me show a lot of code. But at the end of all of this, what I'm trying to really get across is that the amount of, you can go to a place where you're doing much less code and you're having to avoid writing code at all if you can. And Azure Synapse enables this. And actually, it enables this through two ways, which I'll demonstrate. One is our new Synapse Link feature, which is all about doing analytics on operational data. It removes a large amount of code and time and energy and frustration in building ETL pipelines. So that's the amount of code that will disappear. The second is, you know, in the process of transforming your data, you typically write code for that. Of course, Azure Synapse shares the same data flow engine that is in Azure Data Factory. So if you're not inclined to write code for that, you can simply use a graphically oriented graph-based data flow system, and I'll demonstrate that as well. Now, some of you may have heard about Synapse Link, but I think it is still very new for a lot of you. So I want to step back and help you see the context of why it's there and what it's really about. So it is fundamentally about analytics on your operational data. And, you know, Synapse integrates with so many sort of data sources. I want to place Synapse Link in the right place in your mind. So again, I said Synapse is all about integrations. And in fact, when you have a Synapse workspace, there are different styles in which Synapse integrates with other services. A classic one is what we call just linked services. And this really is reflective of the, I think it's 95 now plus connectors that let you orchestrate activities and other services or move data between them to and from Synapse, from other cloud services, as well as even on-premises. So that's linked services. It's the, you know, the bread and butter of what we do in Synapse in terms of data integration. The second kind of integration we have is, I don't have a great word for this, but we call it enhanced integrations. And that is, there are special services for which you might see an even deeper, usually an experience-based integration inside Synapse. And the three that stand out here are, of course, Data Lake Storage Gen 2, Azure ML, and Power BI. If you've used Synapse Studio, you'll notice Synapse Studio is even more optimized to make it seamless to move between those three services. Okay. And finally, now there's another kind of integration, and this is Synapse Link. This is letting you do analytics on operational data. Now, today, that's focused on Azure Cosmos DB and letting you use Synapse SQL or Apache Spark on Synapse to access data in Cosmos DB. In the future, other operational data stores will be supported, but we start off with Cosmos DB. Now let's take a look at what the world is like in Cosmos DB without Synapse Link. And you know, this diagram is, I'm talking about Cosmos DB, but really it's true for any operational data store you have. Your first option for doing analytics workloads on top of an operational database is you do both operational queries and analytic queries on that same database. For many systems, especially at smaller scale, this works fine. The negative with such a system is this. Number one, you know, the operational database is really meant to do a certain kind of things, fast inserts and updates. You know, the sales records have to come in from the point of sales machine like very fast. So it's geared for that kind of row-based sort of modifications and reading. And that's where its life is. And if, again, if your scale is not too big, you can start doing aggregated queries where you're starting to look at, for example, sales trends across weeks or months or quarters. Eventually, people will hit that point where the power required to support the analytical queries is now impinging upon those operational queries, those updates of rows, et cetera. So at this point, we've got a real struggle, right? People need to keep the operational database going, because that runs the business, but then the other half of the business needs to do all this analysis. What do they do? Well, the next option then is you split the workloads. So of course the operational database, you sort of dedicate that to operational queries and inserts and updates. And then you create an ETL pipeline. You move data periodically over to to an analytics database, maybe an OLAP cube, for example. And then all your analytics queries are there. Now, this approach works. Now, the price you pay is, of course, there's a latency for moving data from left to right. That's one thing. And that's always the case. But you got the benefit of these queries. Now, analytics are not impacting your normal bread and butter operational inserts, updates, et cetera. The other thing that's hidden in this diagram is the complexity of building that arrow, that blue arrow on the right. Right. So Synapse Link is all about making that arrow simple or just removing it. Today, you could think of that arrow as really, it's a barrier because you have to build and maintain something that periodically copies data, has to deal with schema changes, has to deal with updates the data, and you have to monitor it, and you have to figure out how to partition the data and what data format you're going to use and where are you going to store that data and what kind of format, et cetera. That's a lot of thinking and planning, and it's fragile. And that is a cause of a lot of frustration for people. So Synapse Link is trying to simplify the creation of that ETL pipeline. And that's the first time, now we'll get into that no code theme. Essentially, Synapse Link takes that away. In fact, you could think of Synapse Link as simply enabling analytics on top of your operational data. So it's basically real time. Changes that happen in the operational system very quickly manifest in the analytics system. There's no ETL required. You don't have to write a lot of logic or code to deal with, what do you do as new data comes in? What do you do when schema changes, et cetera? And finally, because of course it's separated, there's no impact on your operational system. So that's fantastic. Right? You sort of got the best of both worlds. You didn't have to write any code and you got your analysis and you didn't hurt your operational database. So that's fantastic. Now, a little bit of peek under the covers and what's actually going on here. So, of course, this brings it back to Cosmos DB and Cosmos DB containers. What's really happening is, you have to enable analytics on your Cosmos DB containers. So what that means is when you've enabled Synapse Link, you've turned on the analytical store, a container will typically have a transactional store. And this is, as I sort of mentioned before, kind of optimized for rows, right? Reads and writes and updates. Now, what will happen is when you enable the analytics store, there's a synchronization process from the transactional store to the analytics store. That's all under the covers for you, right? And once that analytics store is there, invisibly, you don't have to manage it. You just have to turn it on. And I think the only button, sort of knob you have to control it is a timeout for something there. That's it. You simply turn on the analytical store. Suddenly, that enables Synapse to do high-performance analytics without impacting your transactional workload. So that is what Synapse Link is, right? And if you turn this on, suddenly Synapse has access to it. And that's going to be the basis of my demo. Now, notice the diagram says that Synapse Link gives you two ways to consume that data in Synapse. The first is serverless Spark pools and then serverless SQL. So the minute you connect one of these containers, both are available for you to use. And I'm going to demonstrate that for you with some very simple demos. Okay, so we'll do both Apache Spark for Synapse as well as serverless SQL pools for Cosmos DB. Let's go and launch my demo workspace. So let me expand this out to be a full screen. And you should be able to see everything. There we go. Okay, so this is my workspace. And this is the hub, as we say. So we're going to just do a little bit of exploration before I start getting into like writing queries, okay? The first is I said you had to link a Cosmos DB container. How do you do that? Well, we'll go to the data hub. I click and you can see in the data hub, I have workspace data and it says linked here. Now workspace data, I'm going to collapse it, are all the databases that the Synapse workspace itself manages. Things that are not managed by Synapse are considered linked data sets or data sources. That's why I'll go here. Now you can see, and I'll collapse these headers, that this workspace has links to many kinds of services. And you can see Cosmos DB is there. And if I expand this, you can even see these three containers, store demographics, products, and retail sales. And this is where we're gonna play. Now, how did I even get Cosmos DB there? And it's very simple. I click on here and I'll say connect to external data set. And then I'll pick, you know, Cosmos DB here, continue. And, you know, I'll do the normal things I do to connecting any link services to my Synapse workspace. I'll have to give it the account name, the database name, et cetera. Okay, so I won't do that right now because I've already done it. Now, once I've done that, and so it linked this one called Retail Sales Demo DB, okay? And these are the three containers inside. Now, it may be a little hard to see, but you can see the icons here have three little column chart there. And that indicates that that container is enabled with the analytics store. So that means they're enabled for this fast query with Synapse. Now, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna show you how easy it is to start playing with this. Remember, all I did was link, and then these now appear as linked data sets in my data hub. So let's take a simple one. We'll do products. And I'm gonna right click, and you can see it says new SQL script and new notebook. I'll go ahead and just hover over new notebook and let you see what's possible. We won't explore everything. Load the data frame, write data frame to container so you can write back. Create a Spark table. There's even streaming from load a streaming data frame. We're gonna stick really to load the data frame because that's the simplest and fastest way to show you what's going on here. So I'll click load the data frame. And let me hide a little bit of this UI so you can see a little more clearly what the code is doing. Right. So first of all, it's identifying the kind of, you know, it says spark.read, identifying what's happening here. So this is Cosmos DB. It's doing analytical queries, OLAP. It's specifying the link service. Remember I told you I did plus and I added the link service. It's referring to the name of that link service. Okay. And that'll become very important in just a second. The second is saying which container, which is of course products. Okay. And then it reads that in the data frame and does a display. I won't run this because I have a separate notebook that's already ready with some extra sample code. But there is one thing to pay attention to here, which is notice nowhere in here does it specify a key, like what authentication is being used. So that's the great thing about our link service integration is the key is stored in that link service configuration. You don't have to see it in your code, which is of course not a good practice. It's much better to do what we're doing here. And we reference the data without putting it in the actual source code. This is great, simple, and it's very secure. Now, I'm not going to run it because I already have a notebook ready for this. So let's go ahead and just do it in separate notebooks. I'll close this and I'll load up my other notebook. Okay. Now, I have run this already. So I have a Spark a session going already, but I'll run the cells individually so you understand what's going on. So in this case, I have the very same query, except it's going against the retail sales container. And I pick a few columns to display. I'll go ahead and just run this cell. Let me comment out this one line. So I'm displaying product code, quantity, price, and store ID. These again are the actual sales transactions. Let's just run that. And there you go. Nothing surprising here. You can see I have a product code and it's Surface Pro 7, Surface Go, a quantity, a price, and a store ID, right? Now there's another container there, right? I also have information about the products. For example, nowhere in here do I have the wholesale price. That's actually in the products container. So I'll do a slightly more modified query or cell. Same pulling of the retail sales. Now I'll pull another data frame, which is products. Now, because I'm not such a good writer of PySpark code, I tend to use Spark SQL within my PySpark cells. What I'm going to do is create two temporary views, one called TV retail sales and TV products, because I'm going to refer to those later on in other cells. And I'm just going to create those two temporary views. And you can see here's the data for both, just the top five rows in both. So now I have two temporary views available for my future SQL queries, my Spark SQL queries. And now, of course, just to prove it all works, let me run this cell. There, it ran. So now the temporary views are created. Now let's just do a quick check to make sure I'm actually able to query those temporary views. So I'll query the retail sales table. Yep, all works. And now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do a join. So what I want to do is I want to find out the wholesale price for every row, not just the retail price that was they were sold for. So wholesale cost, you can see this join comes from the product's temporary view. And I just want to essentially add this column with a join. So I'll go ahead and run that. Okay. So now you can see now I have all the fields plus wholesale costs. Great. So now we're actually joining that table from that comes from Cosmos DB. Now I've already created a database using this create database statement called, and it creates a database called Feb Demo. And then I am going to just show you, I'm going to write this data, which is this the thing I did a join on. I'll write it to a febdemo.retailsales table. So I'll write that. So now we've gone from Cosmos DB to Spark as a data frame. Now I'm saving it as a Spark table. Okay. Because I've done my, you know, the cooking I need to do with Spark. Fantastic. It's done. To prove that it's done, let's go ahead and go back to the Data Hub. And I will go and refresh my databases to pull in the updated table. And you can see, here's a Spark database called FebDemo. And it should be one table in it called Retail Sales. And guess what? I could run a notebook on it, of course, since it's a Spark table, but I'll actually query it with just serverless SQL. And so you can see now, you can cook your data with Spark that came from Cosmos DB and query it with serverless SQL, and there you go. And just to prove, just make this a little more real, I'll just replace this query with a quick aggregation. I just want to see the number of sales that occurred by product code, right? So let's just run that query, and there you go. So what had happened here in this entire sort of demo we did is that, again, we just connected to Cosmos DB. We didn't have to worry about the data format. It was stored as some Parquet files somewhere. I didn't have to know about that. I didn't have to know where that data lake store is. I just had to right-click on the data and start querying it with Spark, and it just works. So that's, and even though I showed you code about the querying, there was no code to do the ETL process, and that's the key benefit of Synapse Link. And as I mentioned, this is just the beginning. Remember, more in the future, we'll get more and more operational data stores connected into Synapse via the Synapse Link feature set. Okay, so this was Cosmos DB with Spark. And at the end, I said, hey, let's query with serverless SQL. Well, you know, a lot of you don't want to do that. A lot of you don't want to live in the world where there's Spark and SQL. You're SQL people, and you just want to query with SQL. Don't worry, that works too. So let's close this script here. And just as we did before, I'm going to find the link data set, and I'm going to go back to retail sales. And this time, I'm going to do a new SQL script. Okay, and I'll just run this. Before I run it, let me show you what's in it. So what it's going to do, it's going to, now this is in preview. So it's connecting the same Cosmos DB account, the same database. It's picking the retail sales table. But it needs the key. Now, this is where we haven't fully integrated it with our link service. Now, in the future, what should happen here is it'll just say the names of the things it wants, and you won't be seeing the key in the code. So I'm going to paste the key in the code in a separate sample, and this is the thing that'll get better over time. But you'll get the idea of what's going on. So I'm going to close this, and I already have a SQL script generated. Let's go here. And let me scroll up. And just so everyone's on the same page, there's a lot of SQL statements here. I'm going to select the text I'm going to run and then hit run. So this is the same queries you saw before, except I have, of course, the key is there, right? So I'll select this and run it. And this is going to go against the products table. Yep. And then this will go against the retail sales table. Same thing I did with the Spark demo. I'm just querying the tables, again, from Cosmos DB. Now I want to do my join, okay? Now to make this a little more obvious what's happening in the join, I've decided to use CTEs, common table expressions. So I have one that returns the products from Cosmos DB. I have one that returns the retail sales rows from Cosmos DB. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to just join them together. So I do a select top 100, here are all the columns I want. I select Star from retail sales, interjoin select Star from the products, and then I join on the product code key. And let me select this text and I'll run it. Let me get a little, oops. There we go. Run. And there you go. As this runs, what's happening again, it's pulling for causes to be, it's doing the join. I could have done my aggregation. The key thing is I didn't have to go to Spark. I can go directly with serverless SQL. Okay, so that is really the magic of Synapse Link. You can use Spark or SQL and you didn't have to write any code to build the ETL pipeline. Okay, so now let's get on to the next part of what's in our no code world in Synapse. And that is data flow. So data flow is about code-free data transformations, and these are used in Synapse pipelines. And here's a picture of one. We'll work through the UI briefly. Key thing is you live in this graph. You don't have to write code. And the cool thing about writing this graph is very simple. It's a very guided experience. And what's happening underneath it, it's actually building a Spark program. So it's actually using Apache Spark and Synapse to run this code. You don't know it, but that's what's actually happening. And of course, it has all this great monitoring, et cetera, for all the pipelines and these data flow activities. So it's a really powerful system if you don't want to write any code, because the code can get ugly if you're talking about PySpark or even SQL. This is a much easier role for a lot of people. So there's a list of some of the capabilities. I won't go too much into them. Let's just start with a demo again. And let's see. Okay. So I'm going to show you a basic demo, which is, it won't take too long. It won't take a few minutes to show you the spirit of it. It's how do I get a new data flow? So what I would, to understand data flows, you must understand first that you need something called an integration data set. And in this workspace, I've linked a lot of them. And one of them is to that Cosmos database, Cosmos DB database to retail sales and the other containers. So all those links are in here. And some of these are two different things. Some of them are to Cosmos DB, like this one, Cosmos DB SQL API collection one. So now that that's there, I can use it in a data flow. So let's show you how that would roughly work. I'll go to my develop tab. I'll create a new data flow. And I need to pick that integration data set. So I click add source and then I'll pick the data set and I'll find it, this one, right? And then now once I pick it, I can do joins, I can do selects, and I'm just gonna add some of these to help you understand. I can do filtering or sorting, et cetera. So I just graphically build these things up. And in each one, I will, for example, I will select the columns that I want. So maybe here, this is another table. I'll pick the store ID, and this is some demographic data. So I'll pick income, et cetera, all graphically driven. Okay, so that's how to do it. And just to show you the real data flow, because I'm just playing around here. Here's a pre-built one. Oops, gotta zoom. Let me reopen that. Looks like the Zoom went a bit nuts. It should be this one, yeah. There we go. So this is a pre-built one in the workspace, which again, pulls from the very same data source from Cosmos DB, creates some new columns, you can see here, right? It maps the income column to a float, does some type conversion. It selects some other columns. And then, it saves it to a data lake, and that's it. So now we've gotten to see two ways, really, you can think about doing no code in Synapse. One is using Synapse Link because it removed all the code you needed to write to create an ETL pipeline. The second was data flows. So if you weren't keen on using PySpark or Spark SQL or T-SQL, you could have just interactively created a graph that would, underneath the covers, write a Spark program for you. Very easy. So those are the two no code options that really simplify how you can integrate data with Synapse. Okay, I think that's it for me, so I can...
Wonderful, beautiful, thank you for that. Hey, I just wanted to show a couple of things as well. Adi, do you have any questions while I'm bringing this up?
I just want to say it's exciting to see how we can combine both worlds into one studio.
Yeah, that's great. I did want to show a couple things. bear with me a moment. There we go. So some of the things that Savina's talking about, if you go into our docs, you can actually see several parts of this. Whoops, there we go. In Azure Synapse Analytics, there are some getting started. And if you go to the quick start here, connect to Azure Synapse link for Azure Cosmos DB, it actually highlights a lot of this and you can follow along with what Savine did as well. There are Microsoft Learn modules for this too. And all of this is going to be displayed at AKMS, the Launch Space Synapse and Purview. And there's the QR code if you want to go there. Or if you just go to aka.ms/the launch space and then click on the Synapse and Purview link, you'll find all of these as well. And I just want to say thanks to everyone for joining today. It was wonderful. I think this is really, really good info. It was a nice progression of topics, and thank you so much for Adi for co-hosting as well. It was great to have you here and have your expertise on hand as well. So do you have anything to conclude with?
Well, I think it was definitely an exciting event today, and the lineup was fantastic. I learned a lot. I hope the audience learned a lot. And again, if you have questions, please feel free to reach out and ask. I believe it's the best way to learn.
Yeah, aka.ms/learnTV for the next few minutes. We'll be on there and you can post your questions there. But otherwise, join us. Check out the Launch Space, aka.ms/the launch space, and that's where you'll find all the links and info for today. And I'll also be posting the slides and any videos and anything I'll be embedding there as well. So thanks to everyone. Thanks, Savine. Thanks, Adi. Thanks to all the other speakers. Great show and wonderful to have everyone here. Thanks.